But just to let you know, she now reminds me of, what is it? Is it like a water buffalo that has the horns that come down the sides?
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined as always by Mr. Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Mrs. Danae Hughes.
No!
We write.
Why were you laughing?
Because I knew I was going to do that. It was making me laugh.
We write for Cinema Sins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the Cinema Sins universe as well. Yeah, Danae was cracking herself up before she even let it happen.
I'm such a dork.
And Aaron has frozen balls behind him.
I have a frozen ball behind me.
Listen, if you're going to talk about his balls, you have to be clear.
It's detached and it's behind him.
Just because it says frozen 2, it's still a singular ball. Just because it's
is that a frozen 2 ball that's not frozen?
I don't remember. No, that's the original.
I think it's just frozen.
Yeah, that's the OG. Mm-hmm. I got that at the Frozen press screening. It was the first big press screening I took my family to because they invited the family. And so, they were throwing those snowballs out into the audience. And I've kept it. It's a pretty nice little snowball.
God, that's been it. Like, when did that come out? Like
yesterday,
2011.
Oh man. Well,
I think my daughter was alive, so it's been since somewhere around there, 2012.
It's been a while. I've had a frozen ball for a while. So
you should get that checked out, man. If it's been like 8 or 9 years, that's not good.
This is why there's no better part to your week than hanging out with the B team on
BTS. What a way
BTS.
To start episode 69.
That's right. Welcome to episode 69.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Behind the Sins. Yes.
Danae has like her hair behind her headphones or something. It looks like she has like a headphone headband.
You know, my
that's
favorite,
what I'm going for.
My favorite part, Jonathan, is how you have taken the entire intro to talk about visual things on an audio podcast.
That's what I do, man.
Super helpful.
But indeed, we all look amazing, and we wish you could see us, and we wish we could see you as well in a completely non-creepy way. So let's go ahead and get into the show. We'll kick it off with the Sinside Scoop.
What's he building in there?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
This is a true story.
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, and how we feel about the movie and show in general. Danae continues to play with her hair visually, as if you could see it. But just to let
She's
you know, she
lie.
Now reminds me of, what is it? Is it like a water buffalo that has the horns that come down the sides? It's like some amalgamation of a water buffalo and then like the Rachel do from the first season of Friends.
I don't know.
Like
I don't understand how the headphones are still on her ears.
Yeah,
that's
I don't get it. I can't figure it all out. So...
it's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a great day. We're going to kick it off in the world of TV sins. We are continuing our sinning of the Treehouse of Horror episodes from The Simpsons.
This or Halloween special.
Or Halloween specials, if you prefer.
That was confusing.
Treehouse of Horror 2. This was a Dicer Watkins script, so Jonathan and I wrote on this one. And man, I'm enjoying doing these. These are really fun. Mm-hmm. I'm having a great time with these. Mm-hmm. It is very interesting to see early on kind of them developing so quickly some running gags throughout the Treehouse of Horrors, like the Kodos and Kang thing, you know, some different things. And it's like, that's fun to me that they would, you know, mm-hmm. that so it's not something that happened 7 seasons in. It's something that, you know, happened the second season and they just have continued to do it. So that's been fun for me to see. Jonathan, what was your experience watching this one?
I really liked it. I had seen this one before, but I probably hadn't seen it since around when it came out or maybe some reruns back in college mm-hmm. or something. But everything started coming back to me as I was watching it. It was really fun. We're as you can tell, I guess, by the fact we released a second one, we're doing a run of these for the Halloween season.
Yeah, so I saw a comment that was kind of fun.
I'm starting to get them a little confused.
Well, this is the one with the monkey's paw, right?
Yeah.
This has the monkey's paw. What else does this one have? This has Burns' robot.
And then the middle one is it's the the Simpsons or God, what did they do? They like wish for stuff and
that was the monkey's ball.
That was the monkey's ball. Yeah. That was the monkey's ball. Is it Bart? Is that the second one? The Good Life parody from Twilight Zone.
Guys,
is that this one?
You're supposed to be the ones that know this stuff.
Well, we've been writing on so many of them.
I know. I was just thinking, though, I think I suffered this time because I didn't watch it. I wasn't one of the writers and I wasn't the shadow.
Right.
So I didn't actually watch this episode. So I'm really not sure what was happening in each sequence. There wasn't a lot going on that was like, oh, I know that reference. I mean, there was Frankenstein. So I think I got that one. I've never heard the monkey paw one before, though. It was more like Aladdin for me, but maybe like an evil Aladdin.
Yeah, the monkey paw is very similar to a genie. You get so many wishes, but the wishes often have negative consequences for you that you didn't think about. That's the idea
of
the monkey paw.
But isn't the other one on this one, isn't it Bart, where he's like he can do things with his mind?
Is it? Is that the middle one?
God, yeah, he can read minds. There was some sins in there about the continuity of him being able to read minds, even though it was far away. And
right.
This is where it's interesting, because if you haven't watched the episode either ever or recently, you know, is it wise for us to kind of like have some sort of a moment where we, you know, to like the second part of it? Because I didn't know when one story was ending and the other was beginning. But yeah, so this first one is the cursed monkey paw. Then there's the omnipotent powers. And then there was when Homer becomes a grave digger. Those were the three.
Correct. Which is the Frankenstein kind of parody kind of thing at the end. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I can see what you're saying, Danae. And we've kind of thought about that and the idea of what that might look like to separate the sections and that kind of stuff. But really for what we do, I think it works best just to...
It's fine.
The format just works for what it is. And people who love it know what it is. And people who don't can either look it up and figure it out or not. But that's kind of the truth with anything. You know, like, you know, we'll be talking about a movie later that I don't think either Danae or I have seen. But you watch the Sins video and you go, okay, I think I understand this part of it, but maybe I don't understand this part of it. And that's just kind of normal part of the process, I think.
Yeah, I think that the difference is on a TV show, it's so much shorter. But then also on a TV show that does three smaller little... Is it
vignette? Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah. So it's like peep, peep, peep. It's even quicker paced. Mm-hmm. So there's more gymnastics. And I think it's just more important for us as writers to figure out a way to couch what's happening in the moment inside the sin, kind of recap the moment.
As much as we can without forcing it.
As much
it,
as
yeah.
we can without it being, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I agree. Ready to move on to the sins from the video, Danae, since you didn't write on this. What were some of the sins you enjoyed?
Great question, Aaron. Let me get back to my notes.
Can I ask you a real quick question, Aaron, though? I'm just really curious because you still watch the show.
I do.
Are they still so heavily invested in Twilight Zone and stuff like that, or did they kind of move away from that? Because, I mean, that's one thing I've kind of been surprised about is how much this is Twilight Zone. Parodies and, you know?
Yeah, no, it continues to parody Twilight Zone concepts, those kind of things, but after 30 whatever seasons, 35 I think, or something crazy, it's all over the map. They're doing all sorts of
craziness. Well, I assume they get into like more modern, like have they done like a Saw or like a Paranormal Activity or...
Paranormal Activity I seem to remember a segment. I don't remember a Saw segment, but...
But in general, like they've done some more modern stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
32.
I've got to just sit down and watch them on Disney Plus one day.
32 seasons so far.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, the new one. So it's. I guess they started them in the second season, right? So I guess the one coming up this weekend is 31, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
wild.
It is crazy.
Or 32.
I wrote down my love for the Long Live the Mippies. I love silly words.
I had that
words.
One too.
Silly words are great, which leads me to fluzz, which... Homer was eating that you guys also called cat hair or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I had written something. I don't remember. That's Aaron's sin.
Yes.
And oh my God, that grossed me out when I read it. I was like, that's perfect. Because it was so gross.
Because you're like genuinely disturbed.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's a combination of fluff and fuzz, but I had never heard that word before. That's just the word that came to mind when I looked at that mound of orange something.
I feel like, though, I've noticed this, like, you know, Danae pointed this out in Adventure Time where they just didn't draw those people in the background.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like there are times like this where, like, they're just kind of like, just, it doesn't matter.
Just something.
Draw some crap.
Yep.
Just some crap.
We'll deal with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Pantriarchy was a fun one. And the slobber-filled glass tombs for the aliens. I was so happy to see this sin because when I sinned the first episode, that was something that I was trying to figure out how to write. And, you know, oftentimes you can like, you can sin something, but I tend to try to find those fun lead-ins that lead into something that's kind of a fun way to deliver a sin. And I just couldn't find the right angle on it. So I was so thrilled that we're sinning those containers because they would just be filling up with drool. Mm-hmm. They would be drowning.
Those aliens are like St. Bernards. Like they just, like, can you imagine putting like something like that on a St. Bernard? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, I really enjoyed that one as well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What about you, Jonathan?
Is Yakov Smirnoff really like a Branson thing? Is he a Branson
I actually
now?
Have that for my keeping tabs. Okay. So I'll talk about that a little bit more in my keeping tabs.
I'll let you be on that then. Yeah. In case you, I wanted to write down in case you confused it with Marrakesh, Montana, because Aaron and I literally both wrote that.
Yes.
Like we both wrote the exact same.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
We both picked Montana.
And then Aaron put it in as an alt to be funny.
Like, he's like, which one do you choose, Jonathan? Which one do you like better?
Oh my God.
I like that we kept in my thing about trying to eat a candy necklace because I think candy necklaces are disgusting.
I had that one written down as well.
And Homer survives this and without a peep was hilarious. It worked on so many levels. And I think Chris actually added this one, but the sin proving that it wasn't a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It couldn't be a dream. And then at the end, he's just like, this proves I'm a humorless butthole.
Yes. I loved that one. I had that one written down as well. I also wrote down Peanuts Envy. and the one you were mentioning about the floods ends with one of my favorite portmanteaus where you do a thing where you do a portmanteau and it makes an actual other word because it ends by saying Homer is eating out of some sort of everlasting cat hair pile and I'm both confused and nauseous. Confucius?
Was good.
I love it when a portmanteau can actually make another actual word, or in this case, name.
I just like saying portmanteau.
Yes, I do too, obviously. It's my portmanteau-tally favorite thing.
That's too clever.
Placing half-eaten candy on your dresser. I wanted to shout that one out also because half-eating candy is just something Danae does. She'll eat half a jelly bean at a time. I've seen it happen.
Oh, wow.
And then the he's a contriloquist for the guy that just leaves his mouth open as he's saying things was funny to me. Why would the money just appear for them, but Maggie's pacifier would be personally delivered? I thought was a really, really fun catch.
I did too, but then I immediately thought because she wished it that way.
That's true. It could have been in her thoughts. And then thanks for ruining that, Danae. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. That's what I am here for.
And then imagine how we feel 30 seasons later was a great thing to say as well. So I liked that too. This was a fun one. I'm really enjoying doing these. These are great. All right, let's move on to Gravity Falls. Tourist Trapped is the name of the pilot episode. This was a Hughes Watkins script. So Jonathan and Danae writing on this one. I think it's all of our first experience with Gravity Falls. Is that correct?
I've seen it. I've seen all the episodes. Like 40 episodes though. It's not a very long series. Although it did go over a few years though, because I think there was a delay at one point. But anyways, my daughter and I watched it on Disney Plus. That was like one of the first things we tackled on Disney Plus when it came out. So
I remember that. Yeah, that's why you were the head writer on this script because you've actually seen all the episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool. So what did you think, Danae, for your first time?
Oh, I had a really interesting reaction to this one. It was one that has a lot of elements that I think would usually kind of draw me in, but there was a few things that just popped me out of it so fast. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this. I don't know if I can. And unfortunately, and I know there's a lot of opinions about this. This is just where I'm at right now. I could change my mind later, but where I'm at right now is when I recognize a voice actor's voice, and this happened with Bob's Burgers, with both the bunny eared girl and the dad being Archer. Here again is Kristen, and I love her voice and I love her quirkiness, but like here's another time that she's doing this character, And I love that she's getting work. Like, I want these voice actors to have work, but at the same time, it's just like, mm-hmm. I have this whole thing to kind of get over. It's kind of like when you see an actor that you see play a role consistently and then all of a sudden plays a bad guy in a movie. And you're just like, this is weird. This is strange for me. Except for, in this case, it's just like, I think I know exactly who this little girl Mabel is going to be because it's Kristen's voice. And so that was
Kristen
a little...
Shaw, we should say. Mm-hmm. I don't think you said the last name.
Yeah, I didn't know how to pronounce it. So I was just skipping right over that.
I think that's right. I don't know.
No, it is. Yeah,
I think that's right.
Kristen
yeah.
Shaw is a horse.
Said,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, duh. We have that in the outtake.
Yep.
So, and we've talked about it before, so I won't spend too much time on that. But that was one of the things that happened when I was watching. And the other thing is, yes, I am the person that I know, like, middle school culture, there's dating going on, but I just think it's fucked up. And I think it's weird that we focus so much on it. I'm sensitive to it. And so I brought that vibe yeah. to this script just because I found it to be, to me, incredibly distracting that there's a young girl that is so horned up for every single boy. And there's no, I mean, I guess her brother is kind of like, hey, chill. But there's no parental figure kind of being like, you know, hey, ease up. You don't need to worry about figuring out boys right now. Like,
yeah, no, no, Grickle, you know what I mean? Stand is not a parental figure.
And then to go on a date, you know, off into the woods with a total stranger. I'm just, I know it's a show. It's silly. It's goofy. It's supposed to be funny. But at the same time, I'm like, that really, really bothers me. You know what I mean? So
the things you mentioned were sins, though. That was an interesting thing where I left stuff in. I didn't completely agree with as far as like what was being shown, but they were sins.
Yeah.
So it worked, I guess. I don't know. I like because I was asking you. I don't know. I'm trying to remember, but the specifics. But anyways, the character of Mabel, though, like if you watch the series, that's just kind of her. Like, it's not specifically the dating, but just that she's just one of those. She's very independent. She's very just whatever she wakes up that day and decides she wants to do, that's what she's going to do. Like, right. She's that kind of character, you know? And so that, so I guess that's where my mindset was while I'm watching sure. it. And I wasn't really thinking. And then,
I just think there's a lot of ways.
My daughter talks about boys. I mean, I know, and she's younger than Mabel. Mm-hmm. She's not dating or anything like that. But she's had quote unquote boyfriends.
But within just a few years, your daughter is going to be Mabel's age, according to my Google searches to find her age. And it's just impossible for me to think that, you know, a complete stranger shows up and no one, you know, and again, I know it's a cartoon and I'm really overanalyzing it. It's just, to me,
that's what we do.
There's other ways to get into the fun of the show. Like, there's other ways to discover these gnomes, you know, and if they, yeah, I don't know. There's just, I don't know.
I totally get it. You know, I totally get it. We've talked about relationship pressure before on the show and how there is this thing. There is a conversation to be had about art imitating life or life imitating art. You know, who came first? You know,
the egg,
the art chicken or the life egg? You know, like it's because there is something to be said. Like Jonathan saying, I mean, you know, there are many girls who are boy crazy and they don't even know what it means, but they're just like, oh, I want a relationship and I want to put this guy's name on my notebook with hearts around it. Like, we, you know, that is a real thing, but is it a real thing because
we show it to
right,
them?
Because for
or
so
is it
long,
a real thing because it's instinctive? Yeah.
Right.
I don't like my daughter used to talk about how she was going to marry her like first grade boyfriend or whatever. And she didn't get that from a TV show. Like that was just her. I don't think she did. I really don't. Cause I mean, I know the kind of stuff she was watching at the time.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think for her, it was just.
Here's the issue and why I think it's important to have these conversations. This is where I was going. But the idea of whether it's art or life almost doesn't matter because what we want is just to get, you know, to make people think. Sometimes it's to make people laugh. Sometimes it's to make people think. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's to make people laugh and think. In fact, usually it's, you know, both.
We try to go for the laughs.
Yeah, the laughs are priority, but if we can also, you know, say something that makes you think, that's great. But I think there is, even if it doesn't come directly from a TV show, there is so much about our life and our culture that comes from how we see the world through popular media. And even if your daughter isn't watching a TV show, her friends are, and maybe, you know,
yeah, for sure.
The ways that, I don't know, it's just, it's worth talking about.
I'm already experiencing
but that didn't bother me, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, I don't think there was anything harmful with my daughter having those thoughts.
Right. No.
I don't think that there's something harmful about the thoughts. I think that how it's presented in this cartoon is concerning to me. And that's what we send. We're not sending how people raise their kids or whatever. It's mm-hmm. more just like, where are the adults? This person's walking off with your kid into the woods. Like,
right,
where
yeah.
are the adults?
Right, yeah.
She's 12.
Well, I think it came, well, the adults aren't there because their parents sent them off to there because, as we joke, they wanted to have sex in that summer. that was a funny scent, too, because Danae misunderstood what I meant by that, I remember. I just remember that being really funny because you were like, are you talking about how they had the kids? Is that what we're talking about? I'm like, no, I'm saying that they sent their kids off so they could have a fun summer of sex.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Obviously, that's true. But what was I? I think it went over really well because I didn't, in the comments I read, I didn't see anybody questioning that or
accusing
us of being woke, which we've gotten accused of many times.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, we're all parents writing these scripts. So maybe just part of it. But the other thing is I did see things like, I guess you've not been to like middle school recently. Like that was kind of the vibe that was in the comments of people who are kind of questioning that.
Yeah.
And I haven't been in middle school for a while, but I was in middle school at one point in time. And I do remember, you know, the curiosity of dating and things like that. But maybe it was just the way that things were with me. There was protocol. Like I couldn't just go off on dates.
Yeah. And we can question whether or not a show needs to present it that way. Like that's kind of more what we're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Just because it happens doesn't necessarily mean it has to exist in this show.
So let
but
me
I
ask
will
you-
say that's not a common thing. Like that's not a con- I mean, I don't, I mean, she, I guess she does like boys throughout the series, but it's, I don't know.
Let me ask you this, Danae, to get back to like your enjoyment of the show. So you mentioned this in the section of like, did you enjoy the show? Because it's something that impacted you.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like a battle where like you were like, oh, this is cute, this is fun, but this thing is really bothering me? Or just overall, you're like, I don't really like this show.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
So you know, it's episode one. There is a pull for the curiosity of the mystery of what's going on.
Right.
And there's enough of this sort of like, oh, we've got this book. There was this cipher. You know, there's all these little mysteries that are clearly that they're laying down. And do I want to know what those are? Am I going to go back and watch it for that? Knowing that there's only so many episodes and it's over,
that's a fun aspect. That's why I like the show. I think the mystery aspect and just the fun things that are in that world.
Right.
I
like,
guess,
the,
just,
like there's fairies and gnomes and silliness that's going on in the woods. And that sounds kind of fun.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. I think I'd have to see if I could get into it a little bit and just let it be what it is and not just be like, oh, this is really disturbing mm-hmm. to me, or this voice is really distracting for me. I'm sure after you watch it for a bit, all that stuff just becomes the norm. Well, so I don't know. Well, we'll see if I watch it.
I will say, and we give a send off for her. I mean, Mabel's my favorite character on that show. Although somebody did bring up that we didn't give a send off for Seuss, the kind of the dorky handyman. He actually is very funny though, like throughout the series. Like he's probably my second favorite character.
But maybe not in the first episode.
Maybe not in the first episode.
In the first episode, he did hand him over a weapon. What, right? What didn't he hand him like a shovel or something?
Yeah.
He's like, here, defend yourself. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just like how he's just like completely he does have one of my favorite moments though, which I don't think we had this in the video itself, where he's just like he's like, no, I know what you're saying. I'm pretty sure the mailman's a werewolf. And then it shoots to him sitting on the bench with the mailman walking past him. I don't know. It was really funny.
I don't think that was in this episode.
Huh?
I don't remember that.
It was in the episode. We just didn't send anything in that moment. So we took it out. But it was when he was talking to him up in the attic.
Oh, okay.
That should have been a hoarder's wet dream.
Right.
But no, I really, really, really like this series. And I think it's really funny and fun. And it's very creative. And I like mysteries. And I like, which we'll talk about this more when we talk about Candyman, but like urban legends and stuff is always something that's interested me. And this show kind of gets into stuff like that. So no, it's just my kind of, it's in my wheelhouse as far as like these types of shows, kids shows go. So it was a fun thing to watch with my daughter.
It's the first time I've ever watched the show. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it to the level of, oh, I got to watch the rest of these. I'm not feeling necessarily a pull to watch anymore. Like both of you, the part that appealed to me the most was the mystery part. That is interesting to me, the way they presented it. It feels like there's more to be learned. So I did like that, but I didn't find the quirkiness or humor to the level where I'd be like, oh, I got to watch the next one because it's so funny and it's so well written. I didn't feel that. However, I did feel like it was a decent show. And so I certainly didn't hate it.
I do, before we get into the video, I do want to say, though, there were a lot of people that, there were not a lot of people, but some people made comments, like, you know, they're, like, certain things, like the Konami code and stuff like that. You know, you do find out, I mean, stuff like that actually does kind of come back into the show. Like, pretty much everything you see in the opening credits kind of gets answered or becomes a thing eventually or whatever. And I get that. But at the same time, we also, you know, have to follow the idea that the narrator's never seen it.
Right.
So, like, there were things I thought about making a comment about, but then I'm like, nah, it doesn't matter. So that's kind of where I was leaning with all that.
And, yeah, we walk a fine
line. One of the things I'll get into keeping tabs about the fingers. I looked up some stuff on that because that was interesting. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, we walk a fine line sometimes of that kind of pre-knowledge thing for the narrator. But usually with pilots, we try to, you know, if we allude to something that happens later, we allude to it. We don't pretend like we've seen it. Yeah, I'll get us into the video. Rubbing your face on swine is definitely a sin. And and I appreciated that.
I had that down.
So C-Mom, people really do want Mulder and Scully fan fiction. That was a fun delivery.
Yeah. Wonder who that was.
I have no idea who that might be referencing.
That was various things. I don't remember what I had it originally. I think it was just more of a broad argument. Like, see, you can get paid to be a writer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, oh, wait, this is Aaron talking. So I'm definitely going to have to throw some X-Files shit in here.
Yeah.
I thought you did great kind of channeling him in that moment.
Yes. Yes, it was great. I loved it. You already mentioned the Baron Attic of Lies, which I thought was great. I have to throw a shout out to the pro column, con column sins.
Yeah, that was the name.
Both to the writing as well as the editors putting in the actual lists and doing the edition, and
that was so fun.
Yeah, that stuff was fun
in that editing process. You know, when I wrote the sin, I wrote the sin, and then in parentheses at the end I just said, hey editors, if we could do a pro column con column kind of a thing, that'd be neat. Maybe like as the narrator says them, they appear on the screen or something, and you just never know if they're gonna come back and have something for you, you know. And to see it and then have it be like even the handwriting, whatever mm-hmm. font that they use that just looks like handwriting, I was like, that looks so good. I was incredibly impressed. Shout out to, I think, Natalie on that one.
Yeah.
And you're right, too. Vampires would be the worst like people to be in a relationship with. I don't get it.
Yeah. It's the mind control thing. It's the mind control. Well, really, it's four gnomes in Shmebulok. Really liked that.
Yes. That was so good.
That was my favorite bit. Shmebulok.
Tasting the rainbow, I thought was great.
Thank you.
Okay, I tried to cut that one.
I know. And I was like, why are you cutting this? I want Aaron to look at it first.
We had so many sins.
That's true. We did. We had a ton
like
of sins.
80 million. We had.
It's like, I tell you, I love this show, and I think I had like 50 sins on my initial draft. And just mine.
I had 40 in mine. Yeah. We literally had like 80 some sins on the table. And so we had a real long script, and I was like, well, maybe we just cut like the really kind of like, I don't know, like the ones that aren't really sins. But then like Aaron commented on it going, I love this one. I'm glad to see this one here. I'm like,
well, you were going to put one in if we hadn't, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, he was going to add it. So funny.
Yeah, it was. I had written Tasting the Rainbow, and then I saw it in the script already, and I was
so
like,
funny.
Aaron and I are the same person, apparently. Eric Kesh, Montana, Tasting the Rainbow.
I had five, I think, in shadowing that I was like, I want to make sure and include these things. I think these are valuable or important or whatever. Because as a shadow, you're not writing a full script, but you do want to make sure like ones you like are hit. And you guys hit four of them. And so I really only had one that I was like, and that was the last one, the last sin of the the show. So and then I also liked the finger stuff was great. I'm gonna go with continuity error and try my best to never care this much for phalanges again. Very fun, very well written. Jonathan, what were some of your favorites that haven't been mentioned?
Does every damn Disney cartoon have to take place in the summer? I don't even know if that's a thing, but it was just funny that we had just done Phineas and Ferb. I like that we left in two. Could they not find an actor who looked younger to play the part?
Yeah.
That was me channeling Aaron as well, because he's done that. You've done that with, I think it's you that's done that.
Yeah,
with like,
I love doing that.
Making it seem like it's a special effect and like a live action
thing
versus.
The very first, I think I've told this story before, but the very first time I did that was on the Aladdin script. And Aladdin reaches down and says, you know, it's the where he reaches down to Jasmine and says, do you trust me? And it just shows his arm. But there was something different in the sleeve. And so in the sin, I said, this is probably because that's not even actually the real actor's arm.
Yeah,
they had
right.
a substitute come in for that day or whatever. And since then, I've just loved doing that in animation, treating it like a live action shot. So, yeah.
I liked your cheek, however, looks right fucked up when we were commenting on the her making out with the leaf blower.
So crazy.
And then the other stuff Aaron already mentioned, but I will say these outtakes were a lot of fun. And it kills me how you can line up animated characters with dialogue so well.
Oh, yeah.
So that Lost Boys outtake where Grunkle Stan is doing the grandfather and Lost Boys, all the damn vampires.
Mm-hmm.
God, so good. It's like so good.
Animation outtakes are really, really fun. Danae, anything you wanted to mention that wasn't mentioned?
You guys mentioned a lot. I really liked the Twitter sin was fun. I learned something from Jonathan about newspaper, like using newspaper on glass. I didn't understand the sin.
Yeah,
so
I've had a lot of people tell me that.
So they didn't know that, or that
No. I've had a lot of people. No, I'm saying the reason I knew that is because I suck at cleaning glass. Like I always leave streaks, and I can't remember somebody once. A few people told me to use newspaper, and it works. It's amazing. I just don't have newspaper anymore. But
right. So that was surprising to me because I had never heard that before. So I learned something on this one. And then I also really liked just pausing at the top and pointing out using the Konami code in vain. I ended up reading a couple articles to find out if that ever played out, just out of curiosity. I wrote the sin first and then I looked it up in sort of a reference, like reflection. And from what I know, they never used the up, down, up, down, left, right, which is a, you know, gaming code, not really like the Caesar cipher, which I'll talk about in my keeping tabs.
Somebody mentioned that does come into place, but I couldn't recall when
I couldn't find it, but even still, it's still fun. And that's why it's important to kind of phrase the sins in a way where this better pan out, and if it doesn't, you know, you'd be in trouble, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
anyway, those are the ones that I had written down.
Nice. Very good.
I also wanted to shout out to Lost fans. I don't know, Aaron, did you notice in the outtakes that there was a couple of Lost outtakes?
Yes.
The music worked out real well. There's a moment when he taps on the tree, and I went and found the moment when they find the hatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're on the ground. It goes ting, ting, ting on the ground. And then we just kind of intensified that moment. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And then there's another sin just directly after where it's like, what is, and like, we let the music kind of intensify. And I hoped that Lost fans would like immediately recognize the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then the number sequence one was obviously from Lenny wanting to know the numbers from that show. So
yeah
I thought it was funny. It's always funny to me on Twitter, every now and then you'll get somebody asking the question like, what's the best TV pilot ever, and there's always, and this happened the other day, and there's always somebody's like, yeah, the answer's Lost, right? Like is there another answer?
Are we talking about this still? Like
It certainly is to me.
I mean, it's hard to argue against if you're talking about just pilots.
It's an incredible pilot. So yeah. Well done.
Well, they spent like $30 million right? on it, so it better be. It wasn't that much. I don't know what it was.
Let's move on to music video sins. Childish Gambino, This Is America. You may have thought this was unsinnable and was mentioned as one of the ones we would never be able to do, but we did it. At least Barrett did. and by
at least Barrett did. So blame
so blame him. No, this is a beautiful thing that I think only music video sins can get away with, which is to play off the fact that you are sinning something, but you're not sinning something, because music videos are so quick. And so if/when commercial sins becomes a thing, that would be another one that could do stuff like this. But I always love it when it's kind of meta like this. And I had a lot of fun watching this one for the 30 seconds that it lasts.
I have to tell you, when I saw that we were doing this one, I was like, oh no, no,
no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no. And then I purposely,
which is basically the video.
Right. Well, and I purposefully avoided watching the video until right before the show, because I was like, I just can't go there or whatever. I was really, really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started watching it. I had my eyes closed. I took a deep breath. I hear the sounds, you know, it's like, it's go time. And I open up my eyes and I was on the comments somehow. Like I just zoomed down and I saw a couple comments that said something along the lines of, I was not prepared for this. And then I saw one other person that said, this video is just as long as it needs to be. And so I was like, okay, that's pretty good. And then I scroll back up just as it starts and I see that it's only 50 seconds long. And I was like, oh, phew. oh, okay, okay, okay. Like, we're doing something here.
Did he say anything about it? Because I don't want to take
anything away from what he said.
Yeah, what did Barrett have to say?
I reckon you know that the universe conspired to divert us from posting a different video this week, but I was glad to do this one. Well, surprise, Barrett, we didn't tell him. Yeah, we were actually supposed to do a completely different video.
That happens.
But it happens. So we went in this direction. He continues to say, ever since I saw it 2 years ago, I've been enamored by it. The weird thing about this is that the song is not great. It's got some moments that it's certainly not bad, but the video is so great that it both elevates and overshadows the music. This was a group effort between me, Jeremy, and Chris, since I wanted to make sure I did it justice, but also kept to our voice. And I'm always happy to send buttonflies. those things can kiss my ass. I've honestly never seen a video like this. The one-shot vibe, the audacity, the shocking moments, the commitment from Donald Glover, the quality of the dancing, the stuff happening in the background, etc. I've always said that my favorite video of all time is Aerosmith's Crying, the first one with Alicia Silverstone. That was a fairly recently supplanted by Kendrick Lamar's Humble. I don't know if This Is America will supplant Humble as my favorite, but I think it's close to the best.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm with Barrett. I think the video is great. I think the song is okay. Maybe not even very good. I think that a lot of Donald Glover stuff. I just like Donald Glover, but
yeah.
Some his music, you know, I'm okay with. But I always enjoy watching him perform, and he always comes up with something creative with his video, so it's always fun to watch him.
Do you think he's the kind of artist who almost writes songs with a visual in mind, though?
Maybe. It's very possible.
He reminds me of that thing where you have Bob Dylan is going to come to mind first of all, where it's like their voice isn't great. They're not great singers even, but you respect their material so much because there's so much depth and thought put into it. So it's almost like art. It's the impressionists, right? Like if you want to go to paintings, it's the idea you don't have to do real life paintings to get emotion or meaning or those kind of things. And so people like Donald Glover make art. And so if you look at it and go, here's the things that make a great song. Well, this isn't a great song because it doesn't, you know, it's not hooky enough for me, whatever the case may be. But you can still look at it and go, yeah, but it's art. And that's what I think he's doing here. And that's why it's so impactful is because he's made art. And I think there's some real beauty there.
Yeah, I think this is the idea is that I would watch the video, but I probably wouldn't like just listen to the song like on Spotify or something.
Well,
like,
and
that's
it,
not a song.
And in today's, but in today's culture, it's so hard to distinguish between the two sometimes. Like,
exactly.
Where does the song begin and end? Is it just the audio part, or is the song more than just the audio? Is it also about what it makes you feel? Is it also about the video? Like, you know, and kind of what you were saying, Danae, is if it was written with kind of the video in mind, possibly, or at least the ideas of the video in mind. It's hard to draw a distinguishing line sometimes between what is and isn't, quote unquote, the song.
This is a weird comparison, but Weird Al has stuff like that, right? Where the video is much better than the song itself. It's like Fat is one that comes to mind.
Sure. And now you've heard the only podcast that will compare This Is America to Weird Al's Fat.
I said it was a weird comparison.
No, I know. It's beautiful.
We were just talking about
it's beautiful.
Bob Dylan and Donald Glover is kind of a weird comparison.
It is. It's
but
a
it's
very
a little
weird,
more,
a weird yeah. comparison. Yeah.
I agree with you on Bob Dylan, by the way.
I've written songs, and there are several where one in particular, where as I was writing it, I had such a visual to in my mind as the lyrics are coming out. And if I was ever to be able to, you know, do some kind of a video, I know exactly what I would want it to look like because I know what was happening in my mind as I wrote it. And so,
one where you were like driving Aaron's head into the cement? Was that what the song represented? Like,
no, that's a different song.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's entirely possible that from what I know about Donald Glover, which is not as much as most, I would say, I think he's just the kind of artist who does have something in mind as he's writing something, you know, that, and I think it's neat to have a song that doesn't need to, that's just a good grab. Like it's not a forgettable song. And then you add, like Barrett said, you add this incredible video that has so much imagery in it and so much messaging in it, it amplifies the song itself. And so sometimes I think we need to consider that in today's age, when artistry is both music and visual, that they are, you know, the right blend.
Yeah.
They're linked together.
It's interesting. I think Glover's kind of underappreciated, though, because he's seriously a tour de force, which a lot of these guys do get that way, a lot of guys and girls. But he's a actor, you know, musician, writer, comedian.
Well, I mean,
so many different things.
So far, Atlanta is his masterpiece, right? Like, that show is incredible. And that's his. Like, that's from him. Mm-hmm.
That's it. But he's also, like, I've seen his stand-up comedy special. Like, he's quite good at stand-up comedy. You know, he was obviously, he could just be on a sit. He's very funny on a sit on Community.
Yeah, he's just Danae's, Troy on Community.
Danae's favorite show of all time.
I'm picky.
That's all right. It's very.
I do want to hear the Bashing Aaron's Head in song sometime, though. I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, it's a good song. I like it. It's one of my favorites.
it usually confuses people because it's so peppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like so excited.
Ran down the concrete. Yeah, there's that line. It's a good song.
That's just before the bridge.
Yes, the bridge is so great.
I don't know where my thoughts come from. I wish I was funnier.
The bridge where it's like skull fragments, dun dun dun, skull fragments. Yeah, that's really. Yeah.
See, you
really
guys
peppy.
You guys made my joke so much funnier.
The juxtaposition of that is that I'm actually playing it on like one of those synthesizer where it's the bell tone, so it's like ping ping ping. So it's really.
I thought it was like a keytar saxophone thing.
Oh, that's later. That's later.
That's later.
Oh. Yeah. That's later.
By the way, my mom and I had this conversation last week. There's not enough saxophone in music anymore.
Agreed.
Throw that out there.
Fair enough. Listen to some Chicago.
When I redo this song, we'll just do it in all sax. But synth sax.
We were talking about Chicago when we were having that discussion.
I'm sure you were. I knew exactly what you were talking about. I don't think there's anything really to say about the video itself, unless you
it's
guys
great.
Said
watch
it's great. Watch it.
Well,
it's a fun 50 seconds.
I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen.
Yeah, it's a fun 50 seconds. Like, watch it. It's great.
I mean, the closest thing to compare it to would be the No. I can't remember what video that was either, where it was just No the whole time.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
But it's. I don't know. But
similar to that. Let's move into CinemaSins. Candyman is the first one we're going to talk about. This is an Atkinson Watkins script. I have never seen this movie. I've never felt the urge to until recently, actually, because
I don't know if you'd like it.
Well, I had a friend who, and you guys touch on this in the video.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It took a while. I had a friend who doesn't write head bashing songs about me, and they instead recommend movies that they think I might like. But they said that there's a real social commentary going on here in this movie, and that I didn't know that. I had no clue. And so it was a black friend, and he said in the black community, this is a movie that especially black horror fans love because of the social commentary and what it means to them and how it speaks to them. And that got me interested. So I was glad at least to see the Sins video and kind of pick up on some of that stuff. And I was very glad to see the sin removal for it. So I have not seen it, but from what I saw in this video, I think this, you know, I get it. I understand why people might enjoy it.
Documentary. I don't know if you will get access to it just because you get screeners and everything. I'm not sure because it was a Shudder exclusive, but it's called Horror Noir, and it's all about it's black people talking about black representation in horror cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk a lot about Candy. I'm just saying, if you watch, I think you'd really like that documentary, because it's really interesting. But you could probably figure out whether or not you'd want to watch Candyman from watching that documentary. I don't know. I can't really tell. But there's definitely a lot of social commentary, which is really interesting because the original story that Clive Barker wrote is set in England.
Right.
So they move it to Chicago, and then it focuses on the Cabrini Green, which is a real part of Chicago.
Yep.
It's fascinating. I love the movie. I do. I really like the movie. I don't know that I quite get to love, because we send this a lot in the video, that it's a little confusing as far as like the rules, and even some of the metaphors get a little kind of convoluted towards the end.
It feels a little shaky. It feels like everything's just a little shaky. Yeah.
But it's like a really good representation of like, like if you could capture like an urban legend, like the aura of an urban legend on film, like it's Candyman. And Tony Todd is, and we give a send off for him, rightfully so, who I don't know that I really necessarily think is a great actor, but he's great in this role. And, you know, he's become one of the most popular, you know, horror villains for a reason.
Yeah.
If you watch this movie, and Virginia Madsen's got a really good performance. They also kind of almost make it a love story, which actually works in a weird way.
I picked up on that.
Yeah, it's a very cool movie. It's very cool. Clive Barker is a really interesting guy. Talk about an artist. His books almost feel like paintings a lot of the time. And Bernard Rose is a really good director who unfortunately didn't do much after this, at least mainstream.
Yeah.
He did Immortal Beloved. That's probably like his most well-known film after this. But yeah, no, it's great. It's definitely one of the best horror films to come out of the 90s, for sure.
Danae, I'm curious to hear your thoughts watching the video. I assume you haven't seen Candyman.
No.
So no. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Why don't you give us your thoughts and then just kind of lead us into the video itself?
I just have so many questions. Right. So there's a guy living in the walls and he comes out and kills people or he's dead.
It's another apartment or something.
I need you to answer all of my questions.
It's an urban legend. It's not a real urban legend. It's made up for the story. But if you say his name in the mirror, it's kind of like a Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of urban legend. So right. If you say his name in the mirror five times, he shows up and he kills you. So that's the main thing. He's not really in the walls.
But he kills you if he's innocent. If you're innocent?
I'm pretty sure if you just say his name five times, that's kind of his thing. Like,
okay, so then why does he need innocent blood?
I'm trying to remember.
There's a baby.
I know what you're talking about because we do comment on that.
Yeah.
When we make a joke about the movie. All right,
I guess
blood.
I'm going to have to read some blogs.
No,
that's
but
all I have to say about that.
No, but listen to me. But in the video, though, that's one of the reasons, like, I kind of, the movie loses me because it doesn't explain that very well. Like, it's like, you know, like, because the person at the beginning, which, and see, this is a confusing part because, and we mentioned this in The Sins, the person at the beginning, that is a story being told by someone. So that could, you could look at that as, oh, that's just a story. That's not what actually happened. But in that scenario, he just shows up. Whereas when Virginia Madsen in real life, you know, as she's trying to figure out what's going on with these stories, she does it and then he doesn't show up for like 2 weeks.
Right.
But like, that's where we started getting, that's where we were finding a lot of.
Okay. So was
sinage.
He, this person was once alive and then died and now haunts people?
Oh yes. Died. Yeah. And we didn't show a lot of that because that's pretty awful. He was in like the, he was a freed slave, I believe.
Okay.
And then he carried on with a, he had a relationship with a white woman and other white people did not take kindly to that. That's a lot of the social commentary that Aaron's talking about.
So he was murdered.
A lot of that in the movie, in the video.
So he was murdered by bees.
They lathered him in honey and all kinds of stuff, and basically killed him with bees.
Okay.
Which is why we have that sin, like, you know, who came up with that, you know?
Okay, but then also, why is it candy?
Well, we actually sin that, right? Because we're like, why wouldn't you call him Bee Man or Honey Man?
Okay, all right.
But they say, they call him Candy Man because they say he's sweet. Like, they like make that comment because of the bees attracted to him. So that's kind of how the legend started.
Okay, That's really all I have to say about that movie.
But the innocent blood thing is very confusing, actually, to me. I'm sure somebody's going to be like, no, you're dumb. It's this. It says it right here.
Aaron, when this sort of thing happens, we need to do like a little mini pod, which is like Jonathan explains horror movies to Danae. It's just me asking a whole bunch of questions.
I know more than horror movies.
I know, but you're like the expert.
I'm a real person.
And I would never watch them. I'm a real person, you guys. You can't just use me for my knowledge on horror.
You can't just use me for my body of horror films I've seen.
I just remember trivial things. So yeah, I do have a lot of horror knowledge in my head.
Danae, did you have any sins from the video you wanted to bring out?
Oh. I mean, yes, there were some that I wrote down. Let me just make sure that, I liked the, it makes sense. How could that classroom of students ever make it into the business sector if they aren't taught about alligators in the sewer?
Yes.
I like that one as well.
That's funny.
The couple of women that are working on an urban legend thesis coming by. So let's put some, put some fun Easter eggs in so the trip won't be a waste. And then yet another case where people at a murder scene decide to pick up an incriminating weapon because the pull of going to jail for the rest of your life is so damn strong. So I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, I had that one written down too. I also had, doesn't anyone ever have class in a normal sized room, which I thought was a great observation because it's always one of those theater style rooms.
Yeah.
In movies.
Which I think I had like maybe two classes my entire college in those types
of
rooms.
We just had one building that had one of those. It was the science building had one of those lecture rooms, and every other class I was in was just in like a small little regular classroom.
Yeah. Usually those classrooms were like intro to psychology or something because you had more people. You had like 200 people in the class.
Right. That's lunch at a college? I'll have my Hot Pockets and Doritos whenever I well please, professor.
Oh, that Chris Atkinson, he's funny.
Yeah, that is a great set. I love that one. I have zero clue what this story Purcell is talking is about, but I can tell from these couple of seconds it's not worth the pity laugh that Trevor is giving it. Really made me laugh. Candyman has a lot of things to be pissed off about in this movie, but I don't think he ever thought he'd be the victim of identity theft. It was another one I thought was really good. I also love, no, Helen, don't say Trevor's name five times or he'll appear and kill this movie's momentum. Yeah. And that was really great. I love this video. It's such great stuff. Flirting. Yeah. The combination of floating and flirting.
Oh, that was so amazing.
Flirting. That was so good.
That was another one, too, where I wrote something and Chris was nice enough to put mine in there as an alt possibility. But it's like, yeah, no, we're using yours. Like, I don't, like,
you don't have to make
mine.
Me feel good. Yeah, I know that feeling. And then finally, let me tell you about a scary killer who goes by the name of Helen.
Yeah, I don't know what I think about that ending. That's another thing about the movie that doesn't quite get me there. But
What about you, Jonathan? What were some...
I love, like, Discount Sam Raimi was fun because that's Ted Raimi, that's Sam Raimi's brother. And I just love it when it's a relative or something or a kid, like their son. But what was funny about that, too, was I didn't put this in the comments section, so I guess I'll mention this. My friend Patrick from Modern Horrors, he's at Finley Ash on Twitter. He actually tweeted a cap that part of the video and then just wrote something like, hello police, I've been murdered. This is really funny. But the white hair, you didn't bring that up when I went away, did you?
No, you're fine.
No, the white hair sins was really funny just because that was a run we did because they just kept talking about it. And then it was like, but wait, why doesn't this person have white hair? And I don't know. That was just kind of fun. Douche position is always, I thought that was really funny. But my, can Candyman explain the rules? I thought was really funny. I also like the callback to Trevor because this guy's name was Trevor, which is from, I think the Sinister video. Was where that kind of became a running gag for CinemaSins fans. But my favorite thing that my favorite sin in this that Chris wrote especially, but it was my favorite sin was the bad news is that Bernie is going to meet her untimely end here. The great news is that this is going to be awesome for the thesis. I was dying when I read that in the script. And then also my last thing was bringing Stacy to your wife's funeral. Yes. I think originally we had bringing your girlfriend to your wife's funeral, but then we were like, how did be kind of funny just to call her name.
agree. Very nice. Very nicely done. I've never seen the movie, but I have seen the Sins video. And in this case, that's probably enough. And I had a great time. All right, let's move on to Air Force One. This was a Scott Scher script, and I'm very excited to hear them fight about this movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't know this movie could even give out opinions like this. But yes, please.
Let's hear from them first, and then we'll talk about our own Air Force One opinions.
So if I remember correctly, we asked the A-team for their thoughts on scripts and such, and I believe Jeremy said, I'll wait for Barrett to respond first so then I can tell him how he's wrong, I think is what he said.
Yeah, something like that.
So Barrett kicks off by saying, Air Force One, whoo, baby, this movie rules my ass. Not perfect at all. Not even close, but holy shit, I love it so much. I wish they made more of these medium budget great cast action thrillers these days.
Agree.
I saw this in the theater in 1997 and was giddy afterwards. Harrison Ford's character really makes
he
all
might
the,
drive a Ford.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you for your support. his character really makes all the worst decisions, although I would argue that staying on the plane is not one of them, to which Jeremy takes exception. I guess we'll get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. I do wonder why the hell he took his whole family to Russia in the first place. Anyway, Gary Oldman gets me all giggly when he's in full foreign villain mode, especially in the 90s. Glenn Close is doing very little besides yelling at a phone, but she's good at that. As noted in the video, the effects are hilariously terrible, especially that plane crash. I love the sin we used there, a classic. I also like the opening sin, which came to me as soon as I opened the document. I also loved Jeremy's string of sins about the press secretary divulging all the information to the villains towards the beginning. In short, this movie rules my ass and Jeremy is wrong. So then a couple hours later, Jeremy responds and says, "The president has a fucking duty to the country to keep us his ass alive."
There's a lot of ass commentary in this, by the way.
When you become president, you don't get to care about your family anymore. I haven't read this yet. I probably should have. Well, that's not true. But you don't get to put your family's welfare above the good of the country and your fucking duty to stay alive. The very thing the movie tries to make heroic about its main character is actually an incredibly selfish action. Just look at Glenn Close's utterly worthless vice president. Does that mean she is the vice president?
Yeah, she plays the vice president.
So maybe he meant to say just look at Glenn Close as...
They're saying that character is worthless.
I understand. Okay. Just look at Glenn Close's utterly worthless vice president. If Ford's character dies, that lady would be in charge. And as mentioned, she's fantastically worthless. She's also easily manipulated by the warmongering cabinet members, probably on account of her overall worthlessness. A president that stays on the plane to protect his family and risk putting his VP in charge is an asshole. Unit, core, God, country, man, or something. Regardless, your family isn't on that list. The movie yada yadas the hell out of how Gary Oldman and his bunch get on board. We learn they assassinated the real Russian news team, but Oldman is thumbprinted before boarding. So they also hacked a thumbprint scanner. This movie is stupid, 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 stupid. Everybody in it does stupid things for stupid reasons. It has a bad premise, bad effects, and bad production and bad product placement. So there's that.
There you go. Bring it on.
And then I believe, didn't Barrett then put out the My Cousin Vinny YouTube clip of everything that guy said is bullshit? Did he do something
yes,
like that?
Yeah, he linked to that, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I guess the question is, Jonathan, Team Jeremy or Team Barrett? Pick a side.
No, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. I saw it in the theater. I think I've seen it like once or twice since. It's fine. Like, it's fun, right? I mean, Jeremy's not wrong, but I don't know, it's a movie, so like I hate that reasoning, but like this movie isn't trying to say something, so you know, it's just trying to be a fun piece of summer movie entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason, but I get things bothering you in movies, so you know, he's totally justified, he's not wrong. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't bother me for whatever.
Well, that was a very...
I think it's fun. I like Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman. It is one of those kind of movies that isn't made anymore, for better or for worse, but I do kind of miss these kind of movies.
I do too. I definitely agree with that part of what Barrett said. I appreciate your very even-keeled political answer, but I'm going to be much more direct. Barrett is the winner on this one. this movie is a ton of fun, and you kind of allude to it in that there's a part of what we do where we have to constantly be walking that line of, is this movie actually bad, or just does it use regular movie sins to tell a story and, you know, that kind of thing? And I think for the most part, this is just movie making. You know, of course the president should honor his family. Jeremy's not wrong about that. But in this movie, the only reason it works is because we want a hero who puts, you know, who finds a way to do it all, to save his own life and his family's life. You know what I mean? So there's a movie element to it that's really fun.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Yeah. I mean, they could have probably done something. Maybe they could have done something different where like the pod didn't work or, you know.
Yeah, but we'd send that too.
But I think you're right. You know? Exactly. Exactly. So,
for me, I really enjoy movies like this. Yes, I can recognize how stupid some of it is. Yes, I can recognize the manipulation, especially in the late 90s. In the 90s in general, this was kind of just how you made movies. But I don't know. I like it. It's one of those that I'm going to like, even though I know it has a lot of quote-unquote sins.
You're right. No, this is kind of that like middle point between how movies were made before and then like before we get to like the whole
right.
Marvelized
right.
version.
Yeah.
Like this is kind of that. We had all these movies, especially in the mid to late 90s, like, you know, your Con Airs and Air Force Ones, you know, Independence Day. I mean, you don't get any of those movies anymore. And yeah. and that's okay. I mean, they were from their time, whatever. But they, you know, and when they try, they do try to make them occasionally. Like Skyscraper is kind of
yes,
one of those
it
movies.
It is. It is exactly
not
the movie.
A great version of that.
Says
of
you,
movie,
says you. But I love Skyscraper.
I will say also, I do think it's which you actually are a critic outside of your CinemaSins duties.
Sure.
So you are looking at movies a little differently now. But like I will say, as I've gotten older, I've kind of gotten over this whole like trying to figure out if it's an objection, if it's objective or subjective. Like if I mm-hmm. enjoy a movie, I enjoy a movie.
Correct.
I'm not really like having those internal battles that I feel like Jeremy and Barrett have.
yeah
you know, and then there's nothing wrong, I'm not knocking their, everybody has the right to their own opinion, but I feel like I don't know, I'm just like, yeah, no, that was a good movie, I enjoyed it.
But so do you think they have those arguments or we have those arguments because they passionately believe them, or do you think it's just fun? Like, see, that's the thing I think with CinemaSins is that people don't understand is we're nitpicking because we think it's fun. We're not nitpicking because
I wasn't talking about the CinemaSins part of it. I was just talking about just in general, like when they talk about the
No, I know, but I think those two things kind of compare in our own lives. Like for some people, having that debate would just seem so ridiculous or so dumb, but it's fun for us to do, to be like, you know, hey, yeah. the president would never do that, and to have those arguments. Like that's a fun thing.
Yeah, because like next week we might be talking about someone's opinion that Lord of the Rings is better than Star Trek. We might be talking about that next week. And that was
what? That's a tease. Danae, do you ever remember seeing Air Force One?
No.
Okay. All right. So take a drink.
Are you a Harrison Ford fan?
No. I mean, like, he's fine.
What if he was in Lord of the Rings?
Jonathan wants to get into this conversation now, apparently.
No, I don't.
I'm
totally joking.
I think so. Like, he doesn't annoy me, but I also don't know that I've seen him in a lot.
Yeah, probably just like Star Wars. Have you seen the Indiana Jones?
Yeah, but I haven't seen that very much. Like, I didn't watch Star Wars a whole bunch. I didn't watch Indiana Jones a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. But no, like I have people like that.
In those roles, he's fun. Like, he's kind of like the reluctant hero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of like, he gives that vibe of, I don't know.
I feel like this is his last, like, really good role in that type of, Harrison Ford role.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this was his last kind of one that worked for me. I know Aaron mentioned Blade Runner the other day, which is fair, Blade Runner 2049. And I guess you could argue Force Awakens, but I feel like that's a different Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I also like, I don't know, I actually never don't remember where it comes in the timeline, but I do kind of like What Lies Beneath.
I'm 100% on board with you on that. I did not like it at the time, but that was unfair of me because I was Robert Zemeckis. This is one case where I'll say do not watch a trailer. Robert Zemeckis is really bad about just giving everything away in a trailer. Mm-hmm. In fact, he brags about that. He does that. Like, he likes to do that.
Right.
And so What Lies Beneath was spoiled for me because I saw the trailer. And then so it kind of pissed me off that there was nothing else beyond that.
Ah, interesting.
But watching it, you know, 15 years later as an adult, and like, I mean, older and, you know, not really having that stigmatism attached to it. That is a very well done, like, ghost story.
Yeah, I kind of dig it. So, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Danae, what are some of the sins you liked from this movie?
Was I supposed to watch it? That's weird. I liked all the things listed in the bed.
Yes.
Like the women, the men, the casserole, the cocaine, the Fruit Loops, the llama. That was fun.
Yes, that was a good one.
The did I just know my no? It was, and then the count on Sesame Street, the guy who just keeps counting. He's like the count on Sesame Street, only slightly more dangerous.
That's a great line.
There you go.
Jonathan, what about you?
Russian Time is Weird, Comrade.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was a really funny. I'm surprised he brought you to Russia. Don't Get Cocky, Kid. And then I wanted to mention we had double Xander Berkeley this week.
Yeah.
He was in both Candyman and Air Force
That's
One.
That's so weird.
And he got ridiculed a lot.
Yes.
Deservingly so. I liked the throw off line, yeah, regarding Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing about, and of course I have to mention Rogue Poopers, how do you not? But the whole thing about the guy looking directly at him, who they called Terry in the Sins video.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
It's like, and they're like, cut, damn it, Terry.
Yes. Yeah, it's good stuff. The whole first sin in this video is amazing. About just how, you know, saying all the different amazing actors or whatever, and I thought that was really well done. I also enjoyed the late 90s when you could hack into any system with a 56K modem, a floppy disk full of access codes, and a 12-pack of Mellow Yellow.
Yes.
So true.
I was surprised they didn't go with Mountain Dew.
Yeah, and the Mellow Yellow is funnier.
That is true. That is true.
This movie is entertaining, but nuance is not its strong suit. I thought it was a great summary of the film. Well, spoiling the ballgame means certain death from a hail of evil gunfire for this guy serves him right. I thought that was great. Also, go blue. It was nice to see Michigan beat Notre Dame. And then the... then the sin.
Did that come out loud?
I think you said that out loud. Other guys, Gibbs. Really made me laugh. I love the shout out to Monty Python, because this is one of those instances where watching a video where my sin brain is writing the sin as they're saying it. Like, because the way he said the air velocity or whatever sounded so much like Monty Python. Mm-hmm. And so then they're like, also, we have to determine if Air Force One is migratory or if there could be two Air Force Ones carrying a coconut on the line. Made me laugh very, very much. And then this cooler again, man, I'm getting a strong lust for a Perrier right now, and I'm not happy about it. Made me giggle as well. Lots of great lines in this video. So well done, one and all, for the Air Force One video.
Going back to Mellow Yellow, though, you guys aren't soda drinkers, so maybe you won't know the answer to this. Is it controversial to like Mellow Yellow more than Mountain Dew? Because I do.
Uh-oh.
You're asking the wrong person, but I don't think controversial would probably be the word. You may be in the minority. I don't know, but
I'm just curious. Throwing that out to the listeners. Tell me I'm wrong. But I do. I like Mellow Yellow better. I also like Pepsi better than Coke. So,
man,
Pepsi's, and I think it's both reasons. Pepsi and Mellow Yellow are sweeter, which is weird because Mountain Dew's Pepsi, Mellow Yellow's Coke. But Pepsi is sweeter than Coke. Mellow Yellow is sweeter than Mountain Dew. So I think that's why I like the better.
It's true. No, that much is true. I remember that.
Just call me Candy.
There you go.
Fair enough. We will do that. Eddie Watts, Candyman, whatever you want to call him.
Hey, podcast peeps, it's me again. Those are my dogs. Mm-hmm. Those are my every time I talk, wow. Is this how Aaron feels when we're okay, we're gonna try this. Okay. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
All right, let's move on to keeping tabs.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're each going to talk a little bit about the sin writing process, maybe something that happened in a script, deleted sin, Google search that's got us on an FBI watch list, whatever the case may be. Anybody want to volunteer to begin? Danae,
sure.
Looks like you're ready, willing, and able.
I don't really have
Danae, why don't you go first?
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I think I will. I learned what a Caesar cipher was when I wrote the script for Gravity Falls. I wasn't quite sure what that was, but in my research of that, just that quick glance of the page that has all of the different writings on it, and then finding out, you know, that it said basically that Stan couldn't be trusted or whatever it said, which seemed pretty obvious just based on what he looked like, I learned that was called a Caesar cipher. And so then I got into all these different kinds of ciphers and coding and things like this, went off on a nice little...
Nice.
I even, like, read blogs about people who used to love getting like the Dakota rings in the mail and solving this, you know, like the secret writing on the back of cereal boxes. And there's just like this whole like code world that was super exciting. It gave me some ideas for Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm going to put some ciphers actually in my game to see if they can solve them. And
I like ciphers.
Yeah. And the Caesar cipher is, I think, one of the most well-known ones. It's essentially like you've got the alphabet A through Z, and then you just shift it a little bit. And so in like instead of the first letter being A, maybe the first letter is X. And so every letter shifts down. So it's a pretty easy one to solve because every single letter that's represented is, you know, the same somewhere else. Like you don't have to keep solving multiple ciphers to crack the code. So if X equals A, it's the same throughout the entire thing. And then because it's a Caesar cipher, you can just like shift it down.
Right. If you figure out one letter, you figure out all of
you
them.
You can figure out the rest.
It's be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah. They're also known as the shift ciphers, Caesar's code, and Caesar's shift, obviously, because everything kind of shifts down. So it was a lot of fun to kind of go into like the code breaking world without, again, trying to alarm anyone at the FBI.
I use an adapted Caesar cipher for my passwords. For my online passwords.
Uh-oh.
So,
God, I don't know how you do that. I'm so bad with passwords. So I'm not gonna start talking about that because creative people will.
My password is Jonathan's password.
I mean, I'm not password or 123. It's nothing like that. I mean, I don't change them up the way I should.
Oh my gosh. I was once consulting on a project for a woman. She was trying to figure out how to kind of shift more into the digital world for keeping track of files. And she was very much a notebook person. And so I'm kind of teaching her just the general layout of some options that you have for free. If you have a Google account, which she did, just kind of showing her around or whatever. And she says, you can go ahead and log in. My password. And let's just say that her name was Margaret. She's like, my password's Margaret123.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, friend, we now need to have a separate conversation.
Yeah, my daughter was doing that. I didn't know because she was creating passwords for things. I didn't know she was doing similar things like that.
Yeah.
Like, we need to make that a little stronger.
A little stronger.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Jonathan, what about you?
I actually did mine after the video came out because Danae wrote that great Line of Sins and Gravity Falls about the fingers. And she even came to me and said, hey, just curious, since you've seen this, is this a thing? Because it's weird that they have all these different amounts of fingers. Like, I don't think it is. I've definitely never heard that or never thought about it. And we got a DM on our TV Sins Twitter from a very, very nice fan that just said, I always thought they were Easter eggs. And like, and then he or she, I don't remember, but went on to explain that they thought that, what was it, Danae? Like the different type, like different age groups had
certain
amounts of fingers.
They said that the adults have like normal hand, but that the little kids have three fingers and that one of the people has six fingers.
Yeah, that's what it was. And very, like they just said, they thought that was kind of what they always had in their mind. So I was just really curious. So that made me curious enough to look it up. So I found this whole thing on Reddit about it, which is, there was like a whole discussion about it on Reddit.
Of course there is.
And one of the animators chimed in and said it was a design choice. They said in the character design phase, the character designers thought that some characters looked better with five fingers and some looked better with four. They were right. The characters do visually look better that way, but we should have been consistent for various reasons. Our bad. Just pretend they all have five.
I
don't know if I said that right. That was one of the animators, but it's one of the people behind the show.
I'm sorry. This is very exciting to me.
You're very excited, Danae. Very excited. I think
I didn't look that up to prove anybody wrong. It just started making me curious.
Well, I'm glad you did. Prove them wrong for me. Take them to the mattresses. Isn't that the right saying?
Something like that. I think the real important question is, do you count the thumb as a finger or not? Because the comments are very concerned.
That was the other thing we got ridiculed.
The comments are very concerned that you're not counting the thumb as a finger.
And I caught that pretty quickly that she had not counted. And I was like, that's fine because it's a thumb, right?
No, it was fingers and thumb. Like I was a phalange includes the thumb. A finger is just the fingers. We're doing anatomy, people. So, I mean, I'm going to be specific.
But most people would say they have five fingers. I would say humans have five fingers.
I understand that. Yeah. They would be incorrect, but that's okay. What was first?
I would say that too.
What was interesting about...
And the president shouldn't leave his family. Then continue.
What was interesting for me about that is that in one of those, yeah, an adult had three, and then the next time you see him had four. Not all adults had four fingers.
No, they didn't.
A lot of them had three, and we actually pointed out in the video. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
We're super okay with you guys, you know, saying, hey, we're having fun.
I don't know if they listen to the show, and I'm sorry I don't remember the handle, but they were very nice. We had a nice conversation.
Yeah, I'm just being silly here.
They were very excited. We send Gravity Falls and hope we do more.
I love the Gravity Falls fans. There are some shows we do where you go in the comments and you're just like, oh, fans of this show get it. Like, they're having fun. You know, like, it's, I just love that. They're excited that we, you know, send it.
And then next week, there's a good chance. Simpsons fans, I would argue, are the same.
Yeah.
There's a good chance next week there's going to be one that knots it.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
It can go either way.
My keeping tabs is about Yakov Smirnoff. Because why not? This is from the Sin.
I don't know why that's so funny, but
that
anyways,
it was one of those things where we knew we had to mention it in some way, just because, you know, the Simpsons saying, "Remember, the presidential primaries are only a few months away. Hey, if you don't like it, go to Russia." Just has way too many connections to things that are going on now, right now. But so I just did the in politics. You don't go to Russia. Russia goes to you, which was kind of the format of Yakov Smirnoff votes jokes.
Jokes.
And so I said, somewhere in Branson, Yakov is laughing and crying at the joke at the same time. Yes, Yakov has a theater in Branson where he did his show for many years. Mm-hmm. And I think retired 2 years ago. I think he just retired in the last couple of years, but he still lives in the area. I just saw him on the local news just like last week. He was doing a segment about something. He is very heavily involved in charity work, which I really appreciate. I have met him once. He came in and did the radio show once when I was on a local radio station, and, you know, so I interviewed him and talked to him a little bit, and
does he really sound like his stand-up persona?
No, he doesn't. And we talked about that a little bit, but yeah, it's a persona, and it's just kind of one of those things that, you know,
like Pauly Shore or Bobcat Goldthwait.
You know, there's a reality to it. It comes from a place, but it's definitely enhanced for the character. So anyways,
it's weird. It's kind of problematic if you go back and watch some of those 80s.
Sure. Fair enough. The other thing I wanted to mention is sometimes I'll read back through these scripts and I'll be like, there's a note in the script. And this is such a, I don't even know this for sure, but I'm almost 100% sure this is a Jeremy note, because I've seen these types of notes on his scripts before. But this is after the, this dude looks like what would happen if Tim Curry, Tim Allen, and Alan Rickman had a baby together. His name should be Talon Rickery, which is a great sin. And then just in parentheses in the script, it says, this is maybe the dumbest sin I've ever written. And I just love it. I just love that we do that. You know, it's like, guys, I get it. This is, you know, I'm being dumb here, but that's why it works, because we're willing to be dumb. So I just wanted to mention that
funny.
As well. Let's move on to the comment section. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to pull a comment from the week's videos. Something we like. Could be a comment from Twitter, anywhere else, actually. Discord, email, whatever the case may be. I'll start this one. This comes from Sphinx Lightning, who says, don't you mean the Rickon Stark school of shuffling away from things? This was in the Simpsons video. And to Sphinx, I say, you are correct, and I done messed up, A.A. Ron. It should be on TV Sins. We should always do Rickon Stark school of running away.
I wondered about that.
That was my fault.
I get so I still do that sometimes too, where I'll write like in a TV Sense script, and sometimes it's because we're working on multiple like TV Sense and Cinema Sense.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm even working on music videos at the same time, and I'll still sometimes in a TV Sense script write, you know, would be great at Cinema Sense, or I'll say movie instead of TV show, and then I'm like, God damn it! Aaron will catch it or something.
Yeah, or like, so roll credits instead of roll commercials.
Roll commercials.
Yeah.
It's a hard job, people.
Guys, we have to remember a lot.
We
got to
remember stuff, guys. This was one of my favorite comments on the This Is America video. This is from Harishi, who says, the fact that you didn't take off any sins is a crime. which I think is such a great thing to troll. It's such a trolly comment, and I love it so much because it's true. Yeah. We didn't take there off is, any sins.
There is quality trolling.
This is America.
Okay, okay.
There is legit good trolling. Like that does exist.
Yeah, no, and that's such a beautiful troll.
And when it's done well, it's appreciated.
And then somebody responds to that comment saying, not just a crime, a microaggression. A microaggression. Kevin responds to that comment by saying, legend has it if you say cinema sins five times into a mirror, Jeremy shows up and overly critiques you for 26 minutes or less. Oh, I'm sorry, this is for Candyman. I totally butchered that. This one's from Kevin.
That was also my quote. That was also my comment.
Yeah,
that's
Aaron,
you?
Maybe you should stop, Aaron.
No, I'm saying that was the one I picked.
Oh, okay. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go back in time.
It's okay. Now it's gonna be dumb.
I really feel like you should update the email at this point, because in the email it's like we'll each pick one comment, and here you are like, you know what?
Who broke that rule like week one?
Me. But now it's Aaron, so we're focusing on Aaron.
You know what? You're
on
right.
On the 69th
You're
week.
Right. You're absolutely right. I am just in the wrong today.
I should have picked more than one.
No. We all should pick one. I am in the wrong.
You did three. We'll each get to do three.
You should have backups in case somebody accidentally picks yours, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it should be. Well, let's pretend I only said one then. Let's just pretend I only said one, and then we'll go to Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, what's your one comment for this week?
Hey, I'm gonna say this. No one has said this on this show yet, so it's really exciting. No, but seriously, in the Candyman, I couldn't pass this one up. It was in the Candyman comment. It was Kevin Strom. He says, sorry.
You got it. You got this.
All right, man. In the Candyman comments, Kevin Strom, legend has it, if you say CinemaSins five times into a mirror.
It's really funny comment. I saw that one too. It's hilarious. You can finish it. I saw that one. It's really funny. I get why you're laughing.
Legend has it, if you say CinemaSins five times into a mirror, Jeremy shows up and overly critiques you for 26 minutes or less. I still hear the dings. It was very funny. I couldn't even finish
it. Right. I get it. I totally get it. I saw that one too. It's very, very funny. Hey, Danae. what about you?
I think yours is from Candyman too, right? What is it?
Okay, so there's this thing about Jeremy showing up in a mirror. I grabbed one from Gravity Falls that said, it's from I Don't Care Productions, who says, I know the sins literally don't matter, but I feel like this got too many sins. And AJ Obas says, I agree. Sometimes I feel like he was sinning things just to sin things, like when he was talking about their parents having sex or whatever or something. But they spelled sex S*X. And then
that's awesome.
And then Shadow Mega Gaming pops in and says, Did you just censor the word sex? And AJ responds, yes, with a smiley face.
That's amazing.
And I just
probably did. It's possible we had too many sins on that one. By the way, I was surprised at how many we both wrote.
Well, we killed it.
Yeah.
We killed that thing.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter like how much you like or dislike something. You know, something, it either has a lot of sins or it doesn't. You know, just as far as, because like we always say, the sins don't matter. So some just open themselves up for more than others.
But
I
like how that started off like, I know this doesn't matter, but it really hurt me.
Like, I sent Aaron a script last night of an episode of a show that I can tell you I hated. But I really didn't have that many sins, because that was partly why I hated it, because there wasn't anything going on.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll happen. Very nicely done, commenters. Kevin, especially. Great stuff. Great stuff from Kevin this week. All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Let's chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we've seen recently. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off? What do you got?
I will. So this guy, Kevin Strom. No, I watched. So this actually does kind of tie into Candyman in a way, because we actually did an ad on our Candyman thing for Shudder. So mm-hmm. if you go to Shudder.com right now and you want to check this thing out, if you do promo code CinemaSins, you get a free 30 days. And one thing you can watch is a new movie that just dropped on there this week. It's a 2020 film. It is called The Mortuary Collection. I just watched it last night, and it's a horror anthology, which is one of my favorite types of horror films. I do not feel like most of the ones I like are older, though. I don't know that a lot of modern anthologies really float my boat, but this is one of the better ones I've seen, I would say. It definitely starts off a little rough, but it does get better as it goes along. There's four stories and a wraparound. I will say the wraparound in this is probably one of my favorite things about it, though, how they tie it in, because that's one of the fun things about anthologies a lot of the time, is how they tie in the wraparound to the stories. So that's a pretty fun thing here. But each story gets better as it progresses. The last story was far and away the best one. But the basic premise is that Clancy Brown, the always great Clancy Brown, he kind of plays like a human version of like the Crypt Keeper or something, I guess you would say, in this. He's kind of the MC of all the stories. And he is interviewing someone who may or may not get a job working at the mortuary with him. So he's telling her some stories about some of the bodies and how they got there. And so that's kind of the basic setup. And then it just kind of goes from there. And like I said, I don't know that there's a full on dud, but I will say, like I said, each story gets better as it goes along. The last two stories are way better than the first two. I was a little disappointed with one of them, because there's one where, because in a lot of these anthologies, there's usually like moral quandaries and like comeuppance and all that kind of fun stuff. And there's one where I feel like it was really saying something really interesting about consequences of sex, but then at the end I felt like it just kind of went for like a cheap thrill over like anything of substance, so that was kind of disappointing. But it was still really interesting, and it was almost like the director Ryan Spindle, he does the entire movie, he directs all the stories. It's almost like as each one goes, he just kind of figures out more what he wants the movie itself to be about. I think it's worth a watch. I didn't love it, but it was solid. And I do recommend Shudder, though. I think Shudder's a lot of fun, especially, you know, this time of year. There's so much on there if you're having trouble finding things to watch, if you like to watch stuff around the Halloween season. And you get a free 30 days right now. So it's a good time to go. And I would recommend checking out The Mortuary Collection if you choose to do that.
The Mortuary Collection on Shudder. Very nice. I'll go next. I got around to finishing up Challenger, The Final Flight on Netflix. It's a 4-episode docuseries on the launch and destruction of the Challenger that for many of us was a huge memory point in our growing up lives of when the space shuttle exploded and we lost Krista McAuliffe as well as the others that were on that flight. This is the most in-depth look I've seen or heard on why that happened, what happened, how the pressure of a industry or a situation results in people not being able to accomplish what they need to accomplish in time, and so they cut corners. And man, we see this story over and over again, and it's just like at some point you just feel like, okay, would you not cut corners maybe when it's like the space program? But we just see time and time again that human beings are human beings. But there's also this encouraging part about encouraging is the wrong word, but there's this powerful part of watching these people so many years later wrestle with the choices they made that ended up, you know, with people losing their lives. And some of them are doing a good job at really wrestling with that and taking ownership of it, and others aren't. And so seeing that is very interesting to me. I really like the docuseries very much.
That'd be really hard to watch, I think. Mm-hmm. Like knowing that people cut corners and it cost lives, like you said, and that's a common theme that happens a lot in tragedies when they go back and look at what happened. You know, someone decides not to screw in a, you know, something tight enough, mm-hmm. because they're just in a hurry or they don't want to spend the money on what it makes to make something safe, and so they just like, it'll be fine, and then people, you know, end up dying. That's, yeah. I think that's always difficult to watch, but a reminder that it's important to think about people's lives being valuable, and more valuable than you know, cutting a corner.
Yeah, and I think that the docuseries, one thing it does very, very well is how it respects the people who lost their lives, and really respects them in not going like full exploitation. Like, it doesn't like use the explosion of the Challenger as like the big money shot of the docuseries, you know, kind of thing. Like, it allows some respect for that moment and what the families were going through.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done.
I'm sure it's really good. My wife really liked it, but I'm like Danae. I don't know. I'm going to have to be in a certain headspace probably to watch it.
Sure.
And I definitely remember like when it happened, where I was. It's definitely one of those events. If you lived through it, you know, like even like something like 9/11, which is very different, but I'm just saying it's one of those big events where you do remember like where you were, you know, what you heard, you know, when you first heard about it, all that kind of stuff. So,
What about you, Danae? What do you got?
So Kipo came out with a new season. And I'm really excited to remind you guys that you need to watch this cartoon. It's a very different vibe than the ones that Aaron was just talking about. Although it does get a little bit more serious in this season. You can kind of see how it's maturing a little bit. And just as a reminder, you know, Kipo, they show violence, they show fighting, things like that. But this takes it to a different level where it kind of even shows relationship changes, pretty incredible relationship changes and shifts. And I don't want to spoil any part of it, so I'm going to be very, very vague. But I thought that they did a really good job of kind of bringing the story essentially to a close. I don't know if they're going to do another season of Kipo. I didn't look into that because I'm okay with where they landed on this storytelling. And I really love being able to come back to you and say, you could watch three seasons pretty quickly because it goes pretty fast and it's fun and it's exciting and the music is still great. And I think it still has a fun story and there's really interesting conclusions. And I think it's a safe cartoon for, you know, kids of a certain age to watch. I didn't really feel like there was anything major, like upsetting in it or whatever. Not that I'm like the gatekeeper for what you show your kids, but it's fun. And I love it visually. It's a unique world. And it was fun to go back and revisit it. And a nice little refresher from, I haven't really watched anything. I've just been listening to a lot of podcasts and a lot of my content has been like on pause for whatever reason, different inputs. So I really haven't had something fun to just sink my teeth into. And I literally watched it in a day and then I was sad because it was over. But I want to get like Kipo merch because I really had a good time watching this. So I'm going to order some stickers or something I can put up on my wall.
So this is Kipo and the wonderful, fantabulous world of the Wonder Beasts and where to find them.
Where to find them. Yes. On like Netflix.
Those damn beasts.
you can watch all of it on Netflix. And I hope you enjoy it. Big shout out to all of the BTS folks who have written to me about watching it and have been enjoying it with their families. Jen, she wrote to me and she was like, it came out and I was like, yes, I cried. And she's like, wait, what kind of crying? I don't know if I can handle crying. So she's actually she's choosing not to watch it just in case there's too much emotion. She's like, I can't handle anymore right now.
Just so. What you do is if you start getting emotional, just turn it off, listen to our podcast for a little bit. And then you'll just, you know,
right,
the emotions
in.
Will just go right away. You know,
like, that's right. Our no level of here. Dumb is the brain palate cleanser.
Right.
Listen to the comment section on this episode.
That's right. That's right. And it'll be definitely be a wonderful
hot mess.
Win. Hot mess, indeed. Well, that brings the hot mess to an end, guys. It's
going
to wrap it up for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed. Go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, Kevin from the comment section, and myself, we'll see you next week.
Hey, Aaron, we also have a P.O. Box. Behind the Sins, P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri, 65738.
Send stuff now.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
Look, the guys are already in the hangout. I better join them. Look! my lips tickle so bad. No, that was awful.
She's seen it, haven't you, Danae?
I don't. What are we talking about?
In Discord, there's the helicopter moment at the beginning of the last episode. And somebody in Discord was like something about, I almost drove off the road during the helicopter report at Aaron's sexual innuendo, followed by Danae's perfect sexual innuendo without her even knowing it.
What? There was a sexual innuendo?
Oh, yes. No, it was perfect, too. And you had no clue. And it was just one of those beautiful Danae things.
I even listened. What was the innuendo? Because I listened back to it and I guess I missed it then too.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're doing the helicopter report and I'm doing the, you know, roads or whatever. And then I finish the helicopter report with, you know, a backup on I-69. Nice. And I say nice after I-69.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
You go, I really can't continue doing this. My tongue is so sore.
I did. I said that.
It's like your brain does these things and you don't even know.
No, I didn't even know. Hey, and it's episode 69 this
That's
time.
That's right. This week is episode 69. Nice.
This picture is so stupid. I can't wait to see this.
What picture?
So when you froze mid-laugh. And so Danae had me freeze mid-laugh too, and she took a picture.
Nice.
There, I did it. I can see myself. I like seeing myself.
We've lost Aaron. He's gone forever.
Look at that guy. Look at him.
Look at that guy drinking water.
You guys are nuts.
And you're just now figuring this out 69 episodes in.
This was like, I don't know, some report like 10 years ago where they said that like people between, like most people like between like whatever the ages were, like 18 and 27 or whatever, that their news source was The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And The Daily Show does do like legit news. Okay. But I mean, but for the most part, it's comedy.
Well, it's just like saying for a certain percentage of people, we are their movie reviews. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's very true too. You know dolphins are evil, by the way, right? Like, they're not sweet. And
No, I didn't know that.
I don't know. I read this article one time on them. Apparently, like, they'll injure swimmers on purpose.
Mm-hmm. I believe you mean on porpoise, but continue.
On porpoise, yeah. They'll injure swimmers to where they're stuck, and then they'll back off and wait for, like, other sea creatures to come and get the human. Like, they're not very nice. Like,
well, my understanding is they're just mischievous.
They're very smart.
They're smart and they're mischievous and they're pranksters. Like, they'll do the same. Like,
yeah.
There are stories of them defending people against other animals as well.
True. No, that's true. So, no, that's
like,
true. But I'm just saying,
I think they just
can,
like to
they
get
can
involved.
Be.
They just like to get in there and do something crazy.
Have you watched I Can See Your Voice yet?
I have. It's amazing. I love it. Thank you for the recommendation.
Isn't it amazing?
It is. It really is. It's the best. Here's what I love about it. Here's what I love about it.
I'm so glad you watched it.
In addition to the things you rightly pointed out that I would love about this show, what I also love about it is, unlike almost every other reality competition show, this show delivers results, and it delivers mm-hmm. them quickly and often. And the momentum of this show is so great because you're getting a reveal like every 10 minutes or less. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool, because you'll watch like America's Got Talent, you watch a results show and it's like, you could tell mm-hmm. me the results in 5 seconds and you spend 2 hours getting to it. And it's just like, you know, one result.
Cutting to the clock, cutting back, cutting to the clock, cutting back.
And so like this show just delivers, man. I love it. I really, really like it.
No! 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 I'm ready. Let's do it.